Our church has had the honor and the privilege of having about, there's been five, and since I've been here, it's been about 8.5 years, we've had five people that have come through our congregation and either have or are going into the ministry, and the pulpit ministry. And I'm excited about that. I think that's one of the things that is really a neat thing for the body of Christ, to produce pastors to go out and be part of the kingdom, be part of building the kingdom. And Ryan Goodwin has been working. He's been here since high school days.
Yeah.
And I won't tell him your nickname, cheerleader. So
thank you.
You'll have to ask Mr. Goodwin where he got that nickname. He's been with us since high school and several years beyond high school. He's been working with our youth. And just recently, he and I have been talking about a call on his heart to enter the ministry. And I told him I'd give him an opportunity to preach this summer, and here he is. Come here, I want to pray for you, Ryan, as you get ready. Lord, I thank you for my friend, Ryan Goodwin. I pray now the power of your Holy Spirit be on him. I pray, God, that you'd ease his nerves, that you'd let him know that you are with him and that he is speaking to friends. Lord, just may your comfort and your peace be on him. May your power be on him. Father, speak to our hearts through Ryan Goodwin, your servant, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, we're going to start off with reading a verse, but I was actually thinking maybe more hitting it home. And talk about, we're going to talk about his faith in action. And I was going to hit it home and see if we're able to see where our faith is right now. To see what we are and where we are in our faith and where we need to grow. And that's where I was thinking. And as we go into the scripture and as we learn a little more or look back at what we've already seen, we're going to see that faith produces action. Let's read, and I'm going to read in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39. Think back on those earlier days when you first learned about Christ. Remember how you remained faithful even though it meant terrible suffering. Sometimes you were exposed to public ridicule and were beaten, and sometimes you helped others who were suffering the same things. You suffered along with those who were thrown in jail. When all you owned was taken from you, you accepted it with joy. You knew there were better things waiting for you that will last forever. So do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. What we're looking at is this was spoken to the Jewish community in about 70 AD, the ones that were choosing Christianity over Judaism. They were being thrown into jail. Their belongings were being taken away from them, and they were suffering so much, but they still had so much joy in all their suffering. And I was wondering, I was thinking back, like, when we suffer, do we have that kind of joy? When we suffer for Jesus Christ, do we have that kind of joy? Do we possess all the right answers but contradict the gospel with our lives? Is our faith in the created or the creator? And I was wondering that because we go on a daily lives, and every day do we start over with Jesus in control, or do we go on about our lives as if we have him tomorrow, if he'll always be there for us to grab a hold of? I didn't plan on saying this, but I went to Hayden Hardy's funeral. He was 9 years old. No one planned on him leaving when he was 9 years old, leaving us and going to a much better place. No one planned on it, but you never know when your time is going to come, and you're not guaranteed tomorrow. Having faith, a strong faith, means it's not all about you. And the more I grow, the more I learn this. The more I do stuff that I'm like, I don't want to do it, but I do it anyways. And when I end up doing it, I become so joyful about it that something that I was not wanting to do at all, God expresses himself through it. And we were on a New Orleans trip with the youth. I got to be able to go with the New Orleans trip to New Orleans, obviously, but a church. Church, and the group was called the AIM group. And I can't remember what AIM stands for. Something cheesy, they all have that. But we were there, and the last day they asked us to come up with something in their mind, in our mind, that Jesus was laying on our heart. And there was 10 people in a group, and we all came up with something and wrote it on a piece of paper. And through that piece of paper, we tried to put it together, we prayed about it, and we ended up being exactly where God wanted us to be. We ended up being in a McDonald's, talking to some guy. It was collecting change in a cup. And that guy blessed me more than I'm sure we blessed him. And I just think a lot of our blessings, a lot of our actions, that end up blessing us more than we actually bless somebody else. And we just don't realize it. We see the inconvenience in our lives about what we're fixing to do, and we don't do what we're really meant to do. I'm going to talk about suffering. In Philippians 1:29, it says, "For you have been given not the privilege of trusting in Christ, but the privilege of suffering for him." And God considers it a privilege for when we suffer in him, because when we suffer, we grow. When we're down, we grow. And it happens all the time. We don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but it's there. Sometimes we're so wrapped up in what's going on in our lives, we don't get it. And maybe it's because we're still on the milk and we haven't got the solid food. Maybe it's not. But that's what's been on my heart about this. And the setup I had for all this kind of got thrown out the window once I started praying this morning in the prayer room. By the way, the air conditioner doesn't work in there, so. But there's a preacher, or he wasn't a preacher, I'm not sure what he was. His name was St. Francis. And he used to say, "Preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words." And I know that's been said in here a lot. And it just is so true, and it's so simple, but it's such a hard thing to do. It's such a hard thing to do unless you trust in Jesus Christ that he'll provide. And I'm probably going to step on some toes when I say this, but I know for me, I don't always trust in Jesus Christ that he's going to provide. And I'm not always there. Sometimes I sometimes I don't get it. Sometimes I see the picture, but not the big picture. And here it is right here, talking about this and talking about how we need to not live our comfortable lives, but live by faith. Not what we can see, but what we cannot see. And Jesus Christ is the only one that knows where we're going to go. And my question for us is, are we willing to suffer for Jesus Christ? Are we willing to have the kind of faith that we suffer, that we're thrown into jail, that we lose our property, that we lose everything that we know, sometimes even our family, that we get beaten for Jesus Christ? Are we willing to accept that in our faith? with joy. I'm gonna read a passage of scripture right here, and then we're gonna step right into a video that Carlton's gonna take care of. But what we're gonna read is James chapter 2, 14 through 20, and I'm gonna read it, and then we'll go to video. Then we'll do this. But this has really been on my heart, and I know a lot of people have read this before, and it's been there. But I wanna do it again. It's what is good, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or a sister who has no food or clothing and say, goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well, but you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith and others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds, and you will say you have faith. For you believe that there is a God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble and tear. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? So this scripture right here says that there's more to faith than just believing, that your actions must follow, and they will follow if you have faith. And Carlton, could you play the video, please? And it's going to take about 10 seconds for the sound to actually kick in.
To the world, I meet the need.
That video has been on my heart for the last 2 weeks since I've been praying about what I need to speak about. And when I was praying, I knew it wasn't going to be easy for me to get up here in front of everybody. I knew that I would only be able to get up here with God, because honestly, I've never been in front of a group this large, and we're not even at the same capacity we're at usually. But nevertheless, I knew it was going to be difficult, because I knew that what I needed to talk about over everything is our faith and what gets in the way of it. And what gets in the way of it is the created. It gets in the way of the Creator is the created. What's here on the earth that takes God's time. I heard John Piper say that what would satisfy the devil most of all, which would satisfy Satan, is for us to live our lives in a daily routine and never include Jesus Christ. And the devil doesn't have to do any work in that. He just sits back while we go about our lives, and it's easy for him. But what I'm really trying to say is that we get so much stuff, and I didn't really want to bring this up. That's why I'm stepping around it. But God's really pushing me to say it. And we live one of the wealthier places in Abilene here at Wiley. And above all of us, it should be hardest for us, or it shouldn't be, but it is hardest for us, because we have nicer houses than most of Abilene, nicer cars. Some of us have lake houses. Some of us, I mean, whatever's there is there. And that's awesome. God has provided you with that. But sometimes it gets in the way of Jesus Christ. And having all that's great. I mean, Jesus Christ has given it to you. But when it gets in the way of your faith, it's no longer great. And God will pull out everything that gets in the way between Him and you. And it's been on my heart, and I didn't know how to bring it up. In fact, it hit one line on this, on my paper that I was going to talk about, because I knew it was going to be tough. And it's controversial probably, but it's just been on my heart and I see it everywhere I go with it. The people who have more money are having the hardest time accepting faith, because they have so much more stuff, and so much more of their time goes to that stuff, and Jesus doesn't get the time. I've been helping the food pantry out a lot, and this has nothing to do with me, but I've been helping the food pantry out a lot, and I've been realizing that how well I have it. And these people are struggling to find a meal, and they get to go to the food pantry over here. The one I do is on Willis, North Willis and 10th, and they get to go there once a month, and they're struggling, they're losing their jobs, they're doing all this, but and we're so well off that they're broken and we're not. We have this world here, we have everything to lean on, and they have nothing to lean on. And they're broken and they're open. You're able to talk about Christ with them a lot easier than I'm able to go up and talk about Christ to somebody that has money and doesn't have the time of day for me. And it's just been on my heart lately about this. And I hope I'm not convicting. Well, I do hope I'm convicting some people, because that's what Jesus calls us to do. But it's just been on my heart, and now you see why I'm a little nervous about this. And I just knew that's where God wanted me to go. And yesterday I was in the office, and I spent about 9 hours here. And if I just would have listened, I would only had to spend a couple. And it's just been on my heart. And we just need to sit back and let God do His thing. We just need to sit back. We're going to end this. There's no reason to drag it on. I feel like the sermon's in, no matter if we hit the right amount of time or not. But I want to end it on a verse. I want to read it on Mark 8:34. It says, Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." And that's a popular verse. But let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to come up here and say, spread your word, Lord. Thank you for these people being here. Lord, I pray that the message you put upon my heart, that my nerves didn't get in the way. That I didn't get in the way of what you wanted to be said, Lord. Amen. And Jeff's going to come up here and
thanks, Ryan, for that word from the Lord. And I just want to take special note that for those of you who are impressed that he's finishing up at 11:25, he started at 5 after Evan, so I wanted to point that out. Very strong word from the Lord. You know, he's talking, he may not have said it this way, but Ryan's talking about our faith having feet. There's fruit involved. There's action involved. It's one thing to just say, you know, I'm a Christian. It's a very different thing to let your faith take action. And you know, this meal that we will partake of in just a few moments, that's what it's about. It's about our faith having feet. You know, Jesus didn't just talk a good game, and he didn't just say that he loved us, but he proved it when he sacrificed his body on our behalf. If you would take out your hymnals this morning, those are those little blue books right in front of you. As you know, if you're a member of our church, if you've been here a while, sometimes I do the liturgy and sometimes I don't. And I do that specifically because I want the liturgy to be fresh when we do it. And we're gonna go through the liturgy this morning. And I want these, as we read and respond, as you hear me read, I want these to be more than just words that we're reading off a page. I want you to understand the significance behind these words, the sacrifice behind these words. So if you'll, we'll pick it up on page 12. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you would pray in silence your own personal prayer of confession. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. We'll skip down to the great Thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread and gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering to us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out on us your Holy Spirit, gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The body of Christ, broken for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. The invitation that we read just a few moments ago, the invitation is an open invitation, but it has some conditions. The invitation to this table does not require church membership or any of those kinds of things. What it requires is a belief in Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and a repentance of your sins. And if you meet those requirements, you're welcome to this table. We welcome you to this table. So if our servers, our praise team, and the sound team will come. The invitation has been made. We have confessed our sins before a holy God. The table is open. As the praise team sings, you can come to any of the serving stations and you will be given a piece of bread. You can dip it into the juice and partake in that manner. The altar rails are open if you would like to spend some time in prayer there. We also have the center section. If you would like the individual cups, you can come to this center section. Come.
Thank you. live in faith and not by our own. We're dismissed.
How do you say that?